This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Social media is everywhere, and although it offers us more ways to connect with people, the constant quest to get more likes can take a toll on our mental health. It's vital that we reimagine what self-care means in the digital age. How can we make sure our online relationships and behaviors are keeping us healthy and safe? Well, my guest today, Ray Christian, has developed an innovative way to make sure social media is helping and not hurting people. He founded Textpert. It's an app that gives young adults the chance to get relationship advice from anonymous friends and people. Ray is here today to talk to us about why he developed Textpert and how we can make sure we're taking care of ourselves online. Ray Christian, welcome to the show. I'm so honored to have you with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. Good to be here.
So it's amazing. I mean, social media and controlling the content that comes into our lives is something I've been talking about every day with people lately. And I know that, you know, you are at the forefront and, you know, kind of in the front lines of all of this. So can you tell us a little bit about how this began for you, how the founder of Textpert and where this came from?
Sure. So the impetus was a little while back. I was dating a reporter here in LA, and I liked this girl. I liked this woman a lot. She was an incredible person, very talented, smart, funny, beautiful. But I couldn't get the third date. I got a couple of dates, couldn't book that third one. When I texted her, responses came back 12 hours later, 10 hours later. When I called, she didn't pick up, and I gave up. I figured, all right, this is maybe she's out of my league. Who knows? And about a week later, I'm out with my little sister, and we were having a couple drinks, and I started telling her about this situation, and within about 30 minutes of her understanding what I was going through and giving me advice and giving me some strategy, I reached back out to the reporter, and I booked the date within 30 minutes.
And fantastic.
It kind of blew my mind a little bit, and I realized, it dawned on me that my sister is not a therapist and she's not a dating coach or a life coach. And yet she gave me the advice and the strategy I needed. And it showed me that we are surrounded by good advice and helpful advice. We just don't have a way to connect to it. And that was the beginning. That's when the light bulb goes off and I realized we need to do something to help people connect each other for the purpose of specifically advice and relationship advice and helping each other.
Right. Well, what a great story. And it really comes down to perspective. You know, it's like your sister probably has a different perspective being a female, probably, you know, dating herself maybe, or, you know, she just obviously is wired differently. And so her perspective probably helped you see it in a different way.
Yeah. It's funny. We found there's this really large underserved audience of primarily young adults, I'd say teens, 20s, and 30s that we primarily work with, that there's an underserved audience where they want advice, but they don't want the spotlight that comes with social media or even potentially awkward conversations. And that place where they can get the advice, it also needs to be really positive, a really good atmosphere. And there's some other players in the anonymous space, apps you may have heard of called Yik Yak or Whisper, but they don't have the focus and the right vibe. And we decided that's what we're going to build. And we created this place where you can go on there, post a question or a screenshot and get advice. And it's kind of bridging the gap between people that, you know, we're not a suicide hotline. We're not licensed therapists, but we're kind of here to help for any of life's challenges and opportunities even, where you just want a second opinion. For like maybe it's low-level drama or medium-level drama. That's what we're there for, to bridge, to get to people like you eventually. So make it cool and acceptable to ask for help.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all the time. I mean, I can't get a hold of my, you know, I mean, I don't ask just anyone for advice, but I also don't want to burden people that, you know, so when you were just talking, I was thinking myself, you know, usually I don't ask people because they're busy, they have their lives. I don't want to burden them, but, you know, kind of to have a forum like yours and it's anonymous and there's other people that I would think I would probably value their opinion. I would totally do that, you know, and it is awesome to do that. I mean, I think that that's why this is such a success and will continue to grow. So are you feeling like that people, you know, out there, are having more challenges in relationships because of all of these options, all these dating apps, all this, you know, I mean, on Instagram, it's like every young person I talk to really sits and compares themselves and their lives, and it's not realistic.
Yes.
So do you feel like this is the time to kind of offer something like this?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with that one point. And one other point I would add is all these dating apps, it's almost like information overload where you just have too many options and too much to play with and wrestle. And it ends up where you kind of get this, this paralysis. It's analysis paralysis. You have 50 options of girls or women or guys that you can talk to or date, and it's just too much. And then you have exactly the point you talked about, which is that everybody is like so carefully curating their social media that, especially if you're a young adult and you see Becky's or David's or Bobby's or Stephanie's social media page, you're like, wow, they are living the high life. They're incredible. They're having this great life. When really we all know it's kind of a facade. But
right.
You can't help but compare yourself to it, especially when you're younger and you don't have the perspective. And we figured we know people are going to be glued to their phones. You know, it's a cliche and we wish we could change it, but it's just not going to happen anytime soon. So why not give people a resource where it can be positive and you can help each other. And people like you, you can go on there and actually give help and get points and get rated and earn a reputation. But you're right. This culture right now, I mean, that's before we even get into the whole like sexual exploitation and all the pitfalls of that with social media. And I think there was a need, there's an opening for a platform that's just really helpful and helps kind of mitigate this strange culture that we're dealing with online.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such an important way that people could actually feel connected too. So, 'cause even though, you know, social media is supposed to connect us, you know, in quotes, connect us, actually creates from what I've seen and from what I've heard from my clients, more of a disconnect at sometimes. And so I really feel like this platform that you are creating or that you've created is going to actually help people feel more connected maybe and feel like they can relate to people. You know, I know that a lot of people that I work with going through dark times or recovering or just trying to live their best life, feel alone, you know, really do. They feel alone a lot of the time. And I think it is because maybe we don't pick up the phone as much or we don't, you know, try to meet face to face. And, you know, I hear this from everybody. I mean, even people that are dating on these apps, they talk and talk and talk and text and they never wind up meeting in person. So I feel like there is a feeling in our community and in our culture right now that does feel more disconnected. And do you hear about that or have you looked into that?
Yeah, I totally agree. And on top of that, I have addiction in my family, and it's kind of sad. I'm sure you've seen it, but a lot of times people aren't willing to ask for help until they've hit rock bottom. And why not make it a little bit easier? Why not give them an opportunity to ask for help at the earlier stages before it gets to rock bottom and maybe nip that problem in the bud? But people feel disconnected. They don't want to post anything raw or real on social media because that's such a faux pas. So, and a lot of times because people have this facade of feeling connected through social media, it's kind of fool's gold. It's not really a connection. And it kind of leads us to not feel the need to reach out and ask for help because you're getting Instagram likes and you're getting Facebook likes. So you don't feel like I'm that isolated, but really it is isolation because you're not meeting one-on-one. You're not talking on the phone together or hanging out and talking about real issues in person. And I think that's how the real healing starts and the real problem solving starts. It's not by getting a bunch of likes on your social media. That's not really a connection.
Yeah. And you actually are the voice to create change right now, because with your platform and with Techspert, you could really have on, I mean, which you do have on, you know, people that are that also are professionals, but also that are just everyday people that have good advice. But you really can change the messaging that, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to be emotional and to express that. Because like you said, I feel like people are moving far away from that by creating the highlight reel of their lives and never really getting to, you know, what's going on behind closed doors. And that's always, as you know, a dangerous route to take, because if we're constantly in denial, like you said, of your issues, then, you know, you're never going to be able to heal.
Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, the radio show I do, Dates and Mates, we have people call in, but even that is kind of a big jump to get someone to call in. And the beauty of Textpert is for those kind of low to medium level issues, like, again, we're not there. We're not licensed therapists as our, and that's not our shtick, and we're not a suicide hotline, but for the lower kind of medium level issues and challenges and opportunities, you don't have to feel like there's this big awkward conversation, a big to-do, because it's just super frictionless. Go on there, post your question, and you get advice from people like you, hopefully, Erica, because I know I'm going to get you on there.
But, yes, for sure.
Get some advice and get it quick and get it from someone that's unbiased and objective and just there to help.
Yeah.
Or go on there and help other people. I know you probably feel it every day. When you help other people, it makes you feel better about yourself. And that's the cool thing about Textpert. You can do both sides of it. Give advice or get advice.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes you feel better about yourself, but also creates meaning in your life. You know, for me, helping people makes me feel like I'm doing something meaningful with my life, you know? And I'm sure you feel that way too, because it is meaningful when somebody, you know, something you've done can create change or can create a direction or could create some assertiveness on your part. And I really think it's very cool. So let's talk about your radio show for a moment, Dates and Mates. Can you tell us what that's about and how that came to be?
So I was a guest on the show, and we were talking about Textpert. And a friend of mine had referred me, so I did a guest spot on the show. And Damona, who was the host of the show, 2 weeks later called me up, and she said that was her favorite show in the last year, and she loved our rapport. And she asked me if I'd like to come on and be the co-host. And I was so flattered,
cool.
And I had a blast, obviously, as well, when I was on the show. And I said, of course. And this was about 3 months ago. And since then, I've jumped on and been the co-host, and about a third of the show, we actually pull some of the best, most relevant and real questions from Textpert, and we talk about them. And so it's a great platform for Textpert, but the show is really about dating and love in today's modern society and all the implications of technology as well. And so we touch on a lot of stuff, a little bit of current events too, but it's a fun platform to interact with people and just touch on the nuances and subtleties of living and loving and dating in today's world.
Yeah, I love it. I'm sure it's just fantastic. And I can't wait to go on there too. Where can people find Dates and Mates?
So you can find it on iTunes, or you can find it on iHeartRadio, which just picked up there, and a couple other streaming services like Spreaker as well, and Stitcher. But we're going to get you on there as well, Erica. Can't wait to have you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. So what are some common, like, you know, for me, just I'm curious as you're talking, I'm like, what are some of the common questions that people ask? Or I know there's probably so many, but is there like a theme or something that you've seen, a pattern that has come up time and time again?
Yes. So we see a lot of communication issues that arise from relying on texting for dating problem solving. What I mean is, like, there's a miscommunication, or somebody canceled a plan, or there was some reading between the lines that occurred, and all this happened over text, and people aren't picking up the phone, or they're not getting in person to work out the problems. And that's a big issue, because you're not going to solve problems or solve a debate, anything that's nuanced, it's just not going to be solved over text. You've got to talk it out. And at minimum, over the phone, where you can judge tone and intonation, but preferably in person, where you can see the body language, because that's the language we really speak. It's body language. And that's one of the biggest issues. A lot of it's like uncertainty about, does this person really like me? Is this a dead-end relationship? Should I try to work on it? Those are two of the most popular ones of late. But a lot of it's like early love and even people that have been dating 3-4 years. Like, what do I do? Is this, should I work on this? Or I was just cheated on, or I think I'm being cheated on. And right. it's a lot of it as well. Like, their social media, I see them liking other girls' pictures or liking mm-hmm. other guys' pictures. Should I worry right. about that? All these like weird new developments in love life because of technology that we see.
It's true.
So we do our
it's
best, true. But it's a lot of new types of questions and challenges that have come about because of technology.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It has opened up a whole new ball game, basically. And I think, you know, as you're talking too, and all the things that you were saying are thematic kind of, but the uncertainty and not really knowing, you know, how someone feels and this and that, I find that it's so common and it's so normal. Believe me, it's very normal. But at the same time, I have to beg the question of, like, you know, to communicate with that person directly and say, hey, I really like you. Do you like me? Do you see a future? It's so funny because I think these days we try to read between the lines and kind of we triangulate people and triangulate situations, you know, or tell a therapist and don't tell the person you're actually in the relationship with. I mean, okay, it's great to have a therapist, believe me, and to process things and discuss it and maybe even, you know, contemplate, should I say it this way or that way? But and then somewhere it gets lost that the communication between the two people just does not happen. And it's kind of, it's just very, it's amusing. And it's kind of interesting that I see that a lot too.
Yeah, 100%. And it's incredible work that you're doing. And I know it must mm-hmm. be some of the most fulfilling work you've ever done, but it's funny how many people just don't ask for help, whether it's at a high level or, you know, mm-hmm. a serious addiction issue, or even some of the smaller issues, because they're embarrassed or they want to be more tight-lipped about it. But, like, it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. I have, mm-hmm. you know, I'm the CEO of my company, but I have 6 to 7 mentors and advisors that I ask for help on once a week. And they keep me sane and grounded. And I think all of us, as a general rule, all of us should have 2, 3, 4, 10 people that we can ask for help with. And Textbird right. is trying to bridge that gap. And I think you're doing great work as well. Just mm-hmm. telling people it's okay to ask for help.
Right. Totally. And I love that you are open hearted to tell everyone that too, that's the reality is that, you know, we all have room to grow and we all have room to expand and to learn. And, you know, we don't know everything ourselves. And so to have, you know, to have that open-mindedness towards that is really such a gift. So I'm happy that you shared that today. And, you know, when it comes to love, you know, in general, do you find that people these days, you know, are more, from what I've seen, because this is what more sexual in that way and not really focused on love? Or do you find that there's a disconnect between sex and love? Like you were talking about sexual expectation that happens a lot on these apps and dating sites and love kind of seems to get lost these days is what I think a theme is too, to an extent.
You know, there's some really interesting insights we've seen. And to be quite honest with you, Erica, we kind of mm-hmm. started this app to help people, but it was a little bit skewed towards men. We figured men would be, because I was the one that got the date, and right. I figured, oh, guys would love to be in this situation, get advice, get the date, and then ended up being overwhelmingly female, overwhelmingly women that came onto the app. And there was a couple things we noticed. We've done some recent studies here at UCLA and found that people are actually 3 times more likely to ask for advice from a stranger online mm-hmm. than they are from a friend or family, which was just fascinating and extremely surprising. Mm-hmm. And we also have seen there's a drop actually in, for especially young women, in like traditional sexual acts, like sexual intercourse, but it's being replaced by a lot of other sexual acts that I won't get into here today. But, and I'm no Puritan, but it's mm-hmm. kind of, it makes me blush even a little bit. And,
really?
it's a little bit alarming. There's this weird paradox because they don't want these young women. They don't want to be looked at as a prude, because that's like this big stigma in today's society, apparently, especially with social media. But they don't want to be a slut, quote unquote. So they mm-hmm. there's these weird solutions that they come up on that it's a bit alarming. And we've seen stories on Textbird even where this girl posts a question saying, I gave a guy some provocative pictures. not anything nude, but very sexual. And now he's blackmailing me. And he's saying, if I don't give him nudes, he's going to post it online and tell everybody, show everybody. So it's just like really exploitative and potentially explosive situation these young girls are dealing with that makes them feel isolated and terrified. Like, I don't even know how to respond to that situation. You go to your parents, then maybe not. Like, so it has changed the love life and the sexual culture is, you know, everyone says kids these days, and to a certain extent, that's part of it, but something different is happening now. Because the social media is so pervasive.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a sense of anonymity too. Like, you know, not to get into the dangers of all of this, but you know, I've worked with a lot of women too that have put themselves, you know, unfortunately in dangerous situations because that person is anonymous to them. So they can't ever find that person again. Like you said, someone could blackmail you, you know, never let anyone pick you up at your house. Don't tell anybody where you live, things like that. Cause back in the day, I mean, you know, at least when I was growing up, I mean, pretty much everyone I interacted with, I knew through school or through a family friend or someone like that. There really wasn't as much interaction with total strangers, especially, you know, dating, because we didn't really have these apps and access to people that you would never really come across or cross their paths. So, yeah, the world is changing in that way, for sure, for sure.
You know what's crazy? I hate, I'm not trying to be a fear monger at all, but I didn't believe this when I heard it, but apparently if someone has your phone number, they can Google your phone number, and oftentimes that will then pull up your home address.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I've heard that before. I have not checked that out myself, but yeah, I know. It's pretty.
I couldn't believe it. So it's a little bit crazy, which is why I always say my whole thing is you can use the dating apps to buttress your love life if you're trying to date seriously or find the right person. But I always thought the best method is just get out there and get in front of people. Talk to people at the coffee shop or the grocery store or the yoga studio. And save yourself the time and judge, because we read people through body language again, and like trust your gut after that in-person meeting, instead of swiping for 3 hours, maybe finding a date, and then the date ends up being super weird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there is something to that. And then also just, you know, when everyone has hobbies, we all have things we like to do. It's always great to meet people that way too. So there's just so many different ways. I just have this nagging question I have to ask you, because maybe some people that are listening want to know too. What was the advice that your sister gave you that changed that situation into the third date? No, because you led with it, and I have to, you know, I have to quench everybody's curiosity and my own.
It's funny, like, guys are the ones, anytime I tell the guys the story, they're like, they're salivating and they want to know, because we've all been through that, where the trail's gone cold with a girl or a guy, really. But so there's a couple things. And this has actually been supported by what we've seen on Techspert as well, with some of the practices that really, the best practices that help you navigate the pitfalls of texting. And the first thing is, make statements instead of so many questions. So it's a very subtle thing, but the idea of when you're with friends or family, you're not sitting around peppering each other with questions, Barbara Walters style. You're actually making more statements. And there's like an implicit power indication by making a statement. It's saying that I know you're going to respond, even though I'm not directly pinging you for a response. Because what I'm saying is of value, and I think you like me, so you're going to respond to my intriguing statement. So it's a very nuanced thing, but so make statements instead of always asking questions. And the second thing, which is maybe even more difficult to master, is apply innuendo, but just the right amount of innuendo.
For example, what?
So, for instance, let's see, what did she say? She was helping me with texting her, and there was something, I had won some prize for something, and I told the girl in the last text that I won it, and she said, I want you to show it to me, and the prize or whatever it was. And my sister said, you should say, and kind of ghost wrote the text and said, I'll show you something, or I'll show you that when you show me something.
Oh, gosh.
Which is like an innuendo. It's not creepy, right. But it's a little bit of sexual right. innuendo. And then, and so then the girl responds, I think if I recall correctly, she says, what do you mean? And then my sister, she said, she ghost wrote, basically, she said, you're an educated girl. And that was one of the texts that led to the to getting the date, actually. So don't be afraid wow. to use a little bit of sexual innuendo. Don't make it creepy, of course, or gross. But
right,
have
right.
a little fun. I mean, you're dating. Be flirty. Take some risks.
Right.
And also
right,
right, use right. some statements.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I like you. Would love to see you again. That's a statement. Right? Exactly.
That works. That's one way.
That works. Oh gosh, Ray, this is awesome. I'm so grateful and happy that we got to talk about this today. And I know that this is such this is a conversation that will continue and continue, and our world is ever changing. And so it's been wonderful to have your expertise and to talk about Textbird today. And I know it's going to be just so helpful and continue to grow. Can you tell everyone where they could find you?
Yes. And thank you so much for having us. You can find our app on the Apple Store. Apple, we're on iPhone only. And just mm-hmm. type in Textbird, T-E-X-T-P, as in Paul, E-R-T. And also, one of our big drivers of our growth has been Instagram. We've got a fun, yeah. kind of edgy, cool Instagram handle, we think, or page. So follow us at Textbird_app.
On Instagram. Wonderful. Yep. Well, thank you so much, Ray Christian. He's the CEO and founder of Textbird. What an honor. Yeah, and I hope to have you back soon and we can follow up on all of this. So that would be great.
Can't wait.
That'd be great.
Thanks so much,
yeah.
Erica.
Oh, you're welcome. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you for joining us and stay well.